Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Miles in the post game, what a difference a win makes. Because Friday it didn't seem to be very glowing, didn't seem to be very good. We'll talk about Miles' comments coming up here in a bit.
What a difference for the defense, the being able to actually play with a lead.
Yeah.
It just transforms everything they are. It allows them to, all of a sudden, Grant Delpit is blitzing. They never really do a lot of that.
Whereas, I saw, gosh, you're right about that. Grant Delpit flying in there in that moment. That was a big moment there. That caused the Rayshon Jenkins interception. Everything there was fantastic in that play. Jim Schwartz just got to be in his bag and do exactly what he wanted to do in the second half, and it made it that much more fun to watch.
Yeah, they couldn't do that stuff against, Detroit. They couldn't do that stuff against Pittsburgh. To some degree, maybe Minnesota, but they couldn't get away with it. With Tua, they knew they could get away with it.
So,
especially in those conditions.
Your mind starts playing tricks on you. 216-474-0092. I have the notes right in front of me. And I wrote down the records of the teams that they play coming up. Now, you're 2-5. You're 2-5. Let me go. Can we go through the standings real quick? This turns into a bit of a 7-7.
Are you asking about whether they're in the hunt?
All right, you're 2-5 right now. You're 12th. Ahead of you, you have the Raiders, the Texans, the Bengals, the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs might be a team that's going to hit the gas here in a second. All right, Jacksonville has fallen. They're 2-3, or the 4-3. They've lost two in a row, and they looked uncompetitive against the Rams over in London yesterday. But Travis Hunter got a touchdown, and everybody's excited about that. Good for him. All right, this is what I'm going to lead you to a place here, and I want to know: do you start to think about whether or not they can make a run? You got the Patriots coming up on the road. Patriots are a hot football team. I think they've won three in a row.
See, we're 7-point dogs.
We are 7-point dogs. They're 5-2. If you get that game, if you find a way to win that game, if you put, as the kids like to say, if you put Drake May in hell and you get to 3-5, are we having a different conversation? Because I just want to look. Now, you said you were getting the responses, so here we go. At New York, the Jets are 0-7.
They're the worst team. It's them and the...
Without a doubt.
And they beat... Right, and Miami beat them.
They had Tyrod Taylor out there yesterday.
Miami beat them.
Yes. Baltimore's 1-5, but that's with an asterisk. 2-5, the Raiders. They're a mess. 49ers are 6-2. That's a good football team. Even with the injuries, they're good. I think they definitely want to get Brock Purdy back, but still. Tennessee's 1-6. Then you go through a stretch here. At Bears, 4-2. Buffalo, Pittsburgh at home, both 4-2 right now. 3-4 the Bengals to finish off the season. Do you start to talk about whether or not you can make a run? With one win, can you start to talk about making a run? Or do you find it to be fruitless, or you just won't let yourself get there
yet? I'm not doing it unless they win against New England.
Well, then you don't have much of a conversation, because I'm feeling the same way, too.
Okay, yeah, that's what...
I'm feeling the same way, too.
You know, even though... just kind of looking right now at the AFC. See, the problem is, like, you're right. You think the Chiefs are going to hit the gas. But between them and Denver, right? Like one of those teams are that's one wild card, unless you're thinking the division, because the division does oddly look wide open.
I mean, we can have that conversation if we really want to. I mean, again, I don't have to just get to the wild card. If I could win the division, especially if Baltimore takes on some more water here, I know that they had the week off. The Jets should be an easy enough one. But you really, I think you just, if you get to the Patriots, I think we really start to have a conversation at 3-5. Because then it's, you know, the people who are cynical about it, because I did. I got some people who are going, well, thanks. All you did was cost us Fernando Mendoza. And I'm going, all right, we're doing this already. Like,
oh, I had that yesterday. Definitely. I had two different people. One tweeted at me, one texted me, and they said, well, the Dolphins, they're looking for a quarterback. They're going to get a quarterback for the Browns.
Well, okay. Well, eventually it's just going to come down to your scouting, all right? Because I got to be able to get this figured out here. If you get the 3-5, I'm willing to have the conversation. The reason I'm not willing to have the conversation, even though we're having the conversation right now, the reason I'm not willing to do it is basically because of how I acted in the preseason, where I'm like 6 wins, and then I let people talk me into 7 or 8 wins, and you threw that in my face last week. Not just you, everybody threw it in my face last week. When it felt like the wheels were coming off and the walls were closing in, it felt like, man, and then it was like, man, you said 8 wins before this season. All right, you're at 2 now, and 8 wins during this is not going to get you into the postseason. So I think a lot of people are probably going to be fair to it. I can't talk about a run until you get to the New England game. Then I start to actually play with my own emotions, because then you have a bye week. You have another week to get ready. You have another week to get a quarterback ready. You have the Jets coming off of that. And what gave me some spirit, I'm not willing to meet it there yet, because fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not willing to do it because the preseason helped me. But because of what he did yesterday, where there were so many people and I couldn't help but agree with him, when I said, man, it's windy on Sunday, run the ball. Run the ball. We had Nathan on. Nathan's like, run him 30 times. Run Quinshon Judkins 30 times. I think he ran the ball 25 times. Mm-hmm. He said, run him 30 times. Doesn't matter. I go, keep the ball. Keep the ball out of the air. Keep the ball in somebody's hands. Run the ball. And so many people were going, yeah, seems like a right time to drop back and throw it 35, 40 times, Ken. It seems like 40 attempts is for the day. And I go, man, if you do that again, like, man, you're just grasping at straws. Like it.
And there was no, you notice, they even took the quarterback off the field.
Yes.
For some of their biggest must-have conversions. They took him off and went to wild card that they installed this week. So, Wildcat, so much so that they knew they weren't going to be able to throw the football.
Like, guys, Kevin isn't out of the woods yet. You're 2-5. And I can't just erase everything that happened last week. There's some questions. I mean, people are looking at Miles' body language in the pregame, postgame speech and all the other stuff. I can't erase some of that. Did you see what apparently Deshaun is liking on TikTok? Is that real? Mitch said.
Okay, I saw people referencing this. I just don't know if it's true.
All right. I don't know if it's real.
Follow him on social media because his handlers took that out of my control.
Oh, he's blocked? You blocked it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't follow him on any platform, so I don't know.
I couldn't see, but people were screenshotting that he was liking certain anti-Browns videos.
Well, I don't know if that's real, so I got to figure out if that's real first before we go further with that.
Yeah, I don't have anything to confirm that's him.
But are you on TikTok?
No.
Mitch is on TikTok, I think. Have Mitch go snooping.
I have the app. Yeah, I have the app, but I can't get to certain things. So let me ask you. They would have to go 7-3 to finish with 9 wins.
Yes. That seems almost impossible at this moment.
I don't think their offense is remotely good enough to get there.
Well, because
does 9 wins get them in?
I think it could. I think this division is not very good right now. So if you ended up 9-8, like, I think a lot of people are waiting for the Steelers' other shoe to drop, especially after what happened on Thursday night.
Yeah, but you'd have to beat
them again.
Yes,
you'd have to play them and beat them the second time around. So and that's right before the end of the season.
You're only 2 in the win column behind them.
So go with me on this. You get the 9 wins, you got to start to get to there. I don't know if you're going to do it, because I think the Dolphins are a team that's quit on their coach and quit on their quarterback. They're a bad example. So after you beat the Dolphins, while I'm excited, I'm glad we won, I'm glad the people who went there got to see it, if you do think big picture, it's like, all right, this is a totally different animal than what you're going to play coming up next Sunday at Gillette with the Patriots. They're reinvigorated. They're loving Mike Vrabel. They're loving their quarterback situation. They feel like they've been freed from all the other bugaboos that have happened over the last how many years now, ever since Tom Brady left. That's a hot football team that you're playing. You go out there and you beat them, fine. The reason that I hold back on some of this conversation is because I think what the Green Bay game did, while it was a great way to win a game, it was awesome to win, I think a lot of people looked at it and goes, all right, we're just not going to let your defense beat us. So we'll continue to pour it. We'll let our defense beat up your offense, and we'll kind of go the other way. And we know we can put some points up. So if it's it becomes a race, and how it has become before, it's a race to the first one to 17 ends up winning the game, which is a rock fight, but that's the truth of the matter for the Browns. So if you get to this, if you get to a number that's quick enough that's even low, the Browns can't come back on you. And I think we saw that yesterday. I think we've seen that here in the Steelers game. I think we saw it in the Minnesota Vikings game. I really think it was in the Lions game, to be honest with you, in those two. Like, that's where I think the blueprint was laid. And so I think for the Browns, yes, this win is great. I'm excited for today. I'm excited that I don't have any craziness, and we're not talking about coaches getting fired or talking about anybody else getting fired. I think, though, that next Sunday would be the one going, okay, are we in for the season, or did we just enjoy a win over a hapless football team? We're not the most hapless.
It's a perfect spot because you're a big underdog. You're on the road.
You can be loose.
And Drake May looked basically perfect yesterday. Yeah. I think he had two incompletions in that game as they routed, you know, another bad team. Yeah. Kind of what we did.
Browns fans can be loose going into this one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get this out of the way. First and foremost, the Miami Dolphins aren't very good. They weren't very good yesterday. They were worse than usual yesterday. That said, so what?
They were on
the schedule. Browns needed a win. Browns needed to play well. Browns got a win. They played well, and they did it with a recipe that should be the recipe for this team moving forward. Welcome to Basket of Phelps, everybody. I'm Jeff Phelps. My pal is Andy Baskin.
I don't think anyone was smiling greater than you were yesterday when Quinshon Judkins got the ball 25
Hello.
Times. I was like, Jeff, way to go, Jeff. No, I think the weather may have had a big part in that, especially for the first half. But, all right, I'll take it. And how much fun was that 46-yard touchdown run? That was almost a season changer because everything seemed to explode right after that. Everything felt really good. Sure, we got a lot of really good calls yesterday, too. But, whatever. Who cares? We won 31. They put 31 points. Jeff, they scored more than 20 points in a game.
I'll go behind the curtain here.
Yes.
When they hit 17 points, Andy sent a text to Dan and me, and it said, 17 points! And I said, they still need one more to break the streak, Andy. Easy, buddy. Easy. You were so giddy that they even hit 17.
Week 10 of last year was the last time. And they didn't even win that game in week 10 of last year.
And they end up with 31 points, which was good. That's the way it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
This team needs to do what they did yesterday. And I think you'll be able to compete in most of your games, Andy. You played really good defense. Okay, we know Miami's not good. Okay, we know that. You played really good defense. You didn't give up a touchdown, and you emphasized the running game. You have a passing game that none of us think is really very good. You didn't have to have a really good passing game yesterday. You needed to pass the ball well enough to give your running game a little bit of balance. That's about what happened. They flipped the script. What was it? 18 passes instead of 17 runs in the previous game against the Steelers.
Yes.
That's the way to go. That's the way to go. At least it was yesterday. And I think, though you're right, Andy, the weather clearly played a factor in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was the only factor. I think Kevin Stefanski probably had a bit of an epiphany after running it just 12 times with Quinshon Judkins in the previous game and running it just 17 times total. You know, that's not the way we're supposed to do this. And it worked out.
Think he got some sleep last night, finally? You think he slept?
I bet he sleeps well all the time.
Nah, no.
You can imagine what his checking account balance is. I would think he sleeps pretty nicely.
Who knows, man? You never know. Sometimes you go to the bar, you want to buy a round for everybody. Next thing you know, there's nothing left in the checking account.
Yeah, I get the impression that Kevin's spending a lot of time in bars.
I'm just saying, or maybe he walked into a kid's pizza place that has a big mouse running around.
Everything on me.
Yeah, everything on me. And then all of a sudden, there's nothing left in his checking account. You got to be smart.
What impressed you most about the way the Browns won this game yesterday? And I'm curious, folks. 216-474-0092, the number to join us. We'll be taking some phone calls in a little bit. Scott Petrak's going to join us at 11 o'clock today. Mm-hmm. Tyvus Powell, our buddy from the Browns Radio Network, at noon. And then we will hear from Kevin Stefanski coming up at 1 o'clock. It should be about that time for
at 1 o'clock. Okay, good. I think the thing that was most impressive about their performance yesterday was it wasn't just the defense doing everything. Yeah, the defense set up, what did we say, 21 points off of turnovers yesterday. The defense didn't have to do everything by themselves. The offense was efficient enough to make you say, okay, good. All right, this is good. We're you're doing your job, and he didn't turn the ball over. Again, 3 weeks in a row now for Dylan Gabriel. So bravo to him for that. And by the way, special teams should be just like officials. You shouldn't even notice them. And guess what? Yesterday, special teams did exactly what you needed them to do. There were no faults with the special teams yesterday. That I can remember if anything went sideways. But all three phases of the game executed and fired at the levels that they need to win, especially a game like that yesterday against a deficient Dolphins team. I mean, I think it just goes to show how good the defense has been all year, because the defense played at the same level they've been playing at all year. And finally, the offense rose a little bit. And maybe the weather forced them to do some of the things they had to do yesterday. But that's okay. I'll take it. I'll take the weather. You're not going to worry about that in the dome, but I'll take the weather. So,
I thought the defense just played a real aggressive game, I thought, Andy. And again, we know Miami's not very good, okay? Again, that doesn't matter. You see teams lose games to teams that aren't very good all the time.
What do you think the Packers are saying to themselves
about
us? Well,
exactly. That's exactly right. So you had the opportunity and you got it done. But it's the blueprint to me that I think they take out of this that's the most important thing. The defense might not have needed a confidence boost for its own unit, Andy, but I would think that they got a little bit of a confidence boost because the offense was competent yesterday. You know, and I'm not going to take it any further than that. The offense was competent. I didn't think it was great. Quinshon's average was under 4 yards per carry. That's okay. He had three touchdowns. And that to me is a key thing to remember here. Okay. You might not average 5.5 yards per carry. You might not be averaging 7 yards per carry, whatever it is. What you did was you controlled the game with the running game. And you have a big-time running back. I think that's real clear. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yes, I do agree.
You have a good one who can change the game with a run. And that's what he did. And that's why you keep hammering the
running
game.
Do you agree with me that was a turning point in the game yesterday? It was kind of sluggish in the beginning and then right through the hole.
I think so.
Judkins changed the game.
It was 3-3 in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And he busts off that 46-yard run, and then he had another one, you know, late in the half, and they're up 17-3. And when you're up 17-3 at halftime, you think, okay, that's still a competitive game. You know, what can happen in the second half? God only knows. I mean, look what happened in the Denver Giants game when Denver hadn't scored in the first three and put up 33 in the fourth quarter, which is insane.
Crazy.
But then the defense came out, and with the new guy, Tyson Campbell, getting a defensive touchdown, that to me was the mental change that this team needed. You know, up 17-3 at half, that was terrific. But, you know, immediately Miami could have come out. If they put together a drive, they're right back in this game, and it's back and forth. The interception return for a touchdown by Tyson Campbell, to me, was like the punch to the jaw. That was the one, like, we have this game. We're not letting you back into this game, and we're going to kick your you-know-whats today. That really
felt good, didn't it?
Well, it really did.
I mean, they needed yesterday. They really did. And I hate to think if they didn't win yesterday, what we'd be doing here today.
Yeah, 17-6 at half. Excuse me, by the way.
So, it feels good to feel good. I think we all thought that they had a win in them. I mean, I'm always looking at the Guardians route on trying to get back into things. So
You've already mentioned that twice today.
Yeah, well, last...
Here we go, baby.
Last week, there was only four teams that had ever made it in the playoffs at 1-5. There are 8 teams that have made it in at 2-5. So they just doubled their odds. Even though they don't look real good, they've doubled their odds. So for those of you that want to be optimistic, and I'm telling you, it's hard not to look at the schedule. If you win the games you're supposed to win, you're going to find yourself back in this thing. And by the way, for anybody that was bummed out about Joe Flacco on Thursday night, the Bengals beating the Steelers help the Browns get back in this thing a little bit. I'm not saying that there's a whole lot. I mean, you know, if this was your battery on your phone, you're at like 4%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least there's a little bit of hope out there. And it doesn't matter if they're, I just don't want to hear they're eliminated. I just don't want to hear it.
The Browns aren't in last place in the division right
now. I know. How exciting was that? Hey, Baltimore, how's that feel?
That's one thing.
Yeah.
And because Pittsburgh lost, Steelers are 4-2, and Bengals are 3-4. Browns at 2-5. We're not delusional here, but what we're doing is what Andy laid out. Okay, stranger things have happened. Here's what's coming up: you're at New England on Sunday. New England's a much improved football team under Mike Vrabel. That's going to be a tough game to win on the road.
It is.
You have the bye week. You come out of the bye week, you play at New York against the Jets. They're bad. And that's a bad football team. They might upgrade a quarterback by starting Tyrod Taylor ahead of Justin Fields. They benched Justin Fields yesterday. Baltimore in Cleveland on November 16th. Sorry, that's going to be a tough game. I mean, it's Baltimore. I know they're beat up.
Lamar Jackson. Who's the quarterback going to be?
Right, Lamar Jackson should be back. And then you play in Vegas right before Thanksgiving. Vegas is not a good football team right now. Even if you go 2-2 in those games, Andy, let's say you beat the Jets and the Raiders. Let's just say, well, all of a sudden you've got 4 wins and you're 4-7, and that's better. In other words, it's still a challenge, and we know that. But at the very least, you showed yesterday that you can win a football game that you think you're supposed to win, and you can do it convincingly. Good for them.
I'm on board. Good and we have them. One more night of football tonight, man. We got 2 more games tonight.
Yeah, it's another 2-game Monday Night Football, along with a game 7 in the ALCS thrown in.
It's actually Cleveland Wheel of Regret night, if you really want to think about it.
Why?
Well, Bieber. Oh, stop
There's
with that.
There's a heavy sigh out of the room. Hi, Dan Manigan, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Bieber's throwing for 3-2-1. Bieber's throwing for Toronto, and then Baker's going up against Detroit. That should be a good game.
Could Shane hit? Could we have dropped Shane Bieber into the lineup?
I don't know. Would he have made a difference? I don't know.
I don't think so I'm not regretting it.
It's Wheel of Regret. It'll be Wheel of Regret on this.
Should
come
we do
on.
A group sigh?
Three, yes. Two, one. Someone will call tomorrow and go, oh, why'd we let Bieber go? Look at that. He just got Toronto to the World Series. Oh, that's what we needed. No, it's not. We needed a bat. And then, you know, well, we all know. Oh, look at that. Tampa's now 6-1. They beat Detroit, the mighty Detroit Lions. Oh. There you go. I've already previewed tomorrow's show, and we're only 14 minutes in today.
Do you want me to just start singing Louis Armstrong now?
No. But
I can start.
You do realize this, right? I mean, I'm not crazy. There's a little bit of Wheel of Regret tonight.
When number you're to join
I'm
us.
Not going down this road. The Browns won yesterday.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't need to be negative.
216-474-0092. We'll let you be negative. What impressed you about the Browns yesterday? What might not have impressed you? Weren't you impressed? If not, why? They won a game they were supposed to win. That's not a bad thing in the National Football League, folks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I think if we start kind of picking apart a little too much, like the perfect time to evaluate quarterbacks, I think we're going to be missing the whole point of this entire season. I don't think there is going to be a perfect time. This is as good of a time. This is what you got. And if you can't overcome the surrounding cast, I think that's a pretty strong, I don't want to say indictment. I want to say it's a pretty strong statement on who you are as a quarterback.
Well, I don't know about it's not overcoming. I mean, yesterday was a big time win. Like if anything, yesterday should be, even though he wasn't asked to do much, you won by 25. I mean, that's a blowout.
I don't think he had anything to do with the win yesterday.
But you still won. Well, I mean, you can see quarterbacks, and we saw it with Tua. Tua had three obvious interceptions, and there's no one else to blame on those plays than Tua. Like, we've seen quarterbacks just look absolutely atrocious and melt down. He didn't do that. Now, is that enough of a reason to say that he's, like, the second coming? Of course not. Like, if you're expecting Dylan Gabriel to be what you see in New York with Jackson Dart, you got another thing coming. Like, instantaneously, you could see that Jackson Dart has the it factor. Jackson Dart has a high ceiling. Jackson Dart can be a franchise quarterback. We're never going to see that with Dylan. That's not coming.
Yeah, but we should still see more than what we saw yesterday, which is got lucky that there was an interception and missed a pretty wide open touchdown on the left side of the field. And those are the two mistakes that I remember. And again, I'm fully aware that we are game three here. But I think this idea of, because I think there's this case maybe building, and I can understand if the Browns try to go down this avenue in three games, if the next three games look like the last three games.
Tell me what you're scared of here, because there's something that you seem as if you're bothered by.
Claiming that you have a lack of clarity on a quarterback who threw six games in the NFL, you should know what you're looking at.
You should have known what you're looking at when you threw him out there for week one.
I would agree.
It's not like no part of this is a surprise at who Dylan Gabriel is. Like that to me, if they were holding out hope that he would instantaneously be what Jackson Dart has been, then they had another thing coming.
That's exactly what they were hoping. That's why they put him ahead of Shador. That's why they took him in the third round.
I've told you for months how wrong, and we've all thought for months how wrong they are in that assessment.
But I think my point is, I don't think they were holding on to anything by putting Dylan there. But if you hold on to something by keeping him in there longer than you need to, that to me is where I can see this coming.
I mean, I think he's going to go as far as the wins go. If you beat the Patriots, even if Dylan Gabriel had nothing to do with it, I think they're going to continue to throw him out there. And then the week after that, if you start stacking up wins and Dylan Gabriel's not the reason why, I think Stefanski's going to look at it as complimentary football, which he loves. And I think he's going to look at it as, well, he doesn't turn the ball over, which is what we've desperately needed. And he's going to try to build his arsenal around that.
But that's why this station matters. That's why these fans matter, because you can't lie to us. I'm not saying they're trying to at this moment. I'm saying if they just happen to go 2-1 in their next three games, but Dylan looks like he did yesterday, and you're content on allowing him to play farther than that, you're trying to put one over on us. We know exactly what's happening. Like, he didn't play well enough to win yesterday. He didn't. He played poorly, comparative to his first game. He's not been as good as that vaunted first game, which I believe I said was adequate and you said was acceptable.
Let's
strike that and reverse that.
And I don't know that I agree with that assessment either, though. I mean, he completed 70% of his passes. He didn't turn the ball over. Like, there were some, he didn't get asked to do much, but it's not as if he wasn't vomiting on his shoes out there.
Yeah, but he didn't play well. Like, this idea, like, fine, he should have had an interception and he missed a wide open touchdown. I don't know, like...
I mean, there's all sorts of quarterbacks that miss touchdowns. That happens throughout a game. And there's all sorts of quarterbacks that have almost interceptions.
Passes, so what am I going to grade him on?
Well, but that's kind of what we're trying to figure out, is what do you grade him on? And, like, in that game, if he's 13 of 18, which is, again, a 73% completion percentage, he had a 90 passer rating.
Who cares about... If you're completing a yard pass, who cares about... that? We live in an era where everybody's fudging pass completion percentages by doing a bunch of check down bullcrap.
What he has for himself that other quarterbacks around this Browns team doesn't is that he is not turning the ball over and he is not putting the football in harm's way on a consistent basis.
The last two weeks he has put the ball in harm's way. He just hasn't turned the ball over. Those are two different things.
Did he turn the ball over?
No, but you said he
did
hasn't
he, did
been
he,
put
did he
the,
turn the ball over.
You said he hasn't put the ball
no, you're
in
giving
harm's
him interceptions
way.
That he didn't have though. Like the it wasn't an interception yesterday.
Aren't interceptable plays
just
a thing?
Archuleta called it careless. You can call it whatever you want. It did hit the Browns receiver's hands, did it not?
Yes, after it went through the are we doing here?
Are we
trying to identify this kid? Like, are we trying to look at this kid and ask what the hell he is? Because you and I both have a way that we think he is. But this idea that I got, the first game, that was his rookie game, so we got to give him a pass there.
Well, he's three games into this, Nick.
Well, yes, that's the point. You got 17 games this season.
We're supposed to have this all figured out over three games with Dylan Gabriel?
No, I'm supposed to say you can have an opinion on how he's played, and my opinion is
it wasn't as bad as you're saying it is right now.
No, your opinion was we can't grade him on this game, we couldn't grade him on last game.
No, my opinion was last week we couldn't grade him, and this week I said it was a much better game than what you're saying. I've said acceptable like 12 million times.
Am I putting him
in Canton? No.
I believe at some point you said, I'm not sure what we can grade him on after this week.
No, I'm saying when you have seven passes through three quarters, it's unfair to come out here and say he's part of the problem.
He's an NFL quarterback. There's nothing unfair about
this. No, it's unfair to say he's part of the problem when you win by 25 points.
The clock is ticking.
There's so many quarterbacks, like Tua displayed yesterday, that vomit all over their shoes in any given week. That was three bad interceptions. He didn't do that.
So because he wasn't Tua Tagovailoa?
Look at our situation. Yes, you need a quarterback that can at least be stable and can at least not turn the ball over.
You need a starting quarterback, not a backup. Like, he's a backup through three games.
And no part of me has disagreed with the long-term assessment of Dylan Gabriel, but for 3 weeks to sit here, and especially yesterday, to sit here and say that was some lousy game is just not true.
He wasn't good.
No, that's not true.
Why? Because he went 13 of 18 and he's got an adjusted completion percentage for 78%. If I threw the ball a yard, I could get 50% completion in the NFL right now.
It was 6.5 yards. That was a yard and a half longer than Joe Flacco did in his first five games.
Yeah, that's an approximation of 18 plays. Most of his plays were short plays.
I don't know what to tell you.
And by the way, the Browns receivers also had a lot of yards after the catch, which inflated those numbers. He wasn't good. Why is it hard to say that? I'm not saying you're saying. I'm just saying, like, in general, we like pull our punches. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong. Like, he wasn't very good yesterday.
I'm not afraid to be wrong. It's so much easier for me. I've ragged on him for 6 months. It's so much easier for me to come out here and be like, he stinks. He sucks. But it's three games, and it doesn't appear, at least yesterday was not his fault. No part of yesterday was on Dylan Gabriel. You won the game by 25.
He made bad plays. That is his fault.
His game plan, again, supporting actor, his game plan yesterday was to just not get in the way. That was the game plan. He performed that as well as you possibly could.
So basically, if Paul Giamatti doesn't screw up the spot for Al Pacino, it wasn't that Paul Giamatti was crappy because he didn't screw up Al Pacino.
His role was a bad analogy. Yes, it was. His role was to simply hand the ball off to Quinshon and let Quinshon cook.
He made 18 throws. You can grade him off those 18 throws.
Don't throw four interceptions and lose the turnover battle. He threw zero interceptions.
You know what? That's how I'm grading every quarterback from now. Did you play as bad as Tua Tagovailoa did specifically yesterday?
No, did you?
Past that, You're my quarterback.
Did he turn the ball over yesterday in a game where you knew as long as you don't
did
turn the ball
turnover,
over, you're going to win?
Did he have turnover-worthy plays?
You counted one.
For the second straight week, did
you
have
counted
turnover?
One, which, by the way...
One turnover's too many with this guy.
All sorts of quarterbacks have a turnover in a game.
The only reason he's out there is he doesn't turn over the damn ball.
And also, since I didn't know we were so big in turnover-worthy plays, because that's my area, I like this. If we can bring this to the table, I'm perfectly fine with that moving forward. I just need to know that's where you stand. And also, we get to then, if he missed a touchdown in the end zone, we get to bring that one up as if that's like the biggest crime in the world.
Have we not done that with everything else?
As if that's the biggest crime in the world.
Have we not done that with every other quarterback?
There's so many plays in a game. We've seen so many quarterbacks
miss touchdown throws. We hammered Joe Flacco for his misses. We hammered Joe Flacco for his interceptions.
This is not the game to get on Dylan Gabriel, Nick. It's not the game to do it.
It's not the game to say anything other than, yeah, that wasn't a great game from him, but they still won. That's hey, cool. You were one of the three worst things that happened yesterday, but we won
three
by 25.
Things?
Yes, he played poorly.
It wasn't poor, Nick. That was not a poor performance.
Let's just say fine as many times as we can. Just fart that into the ether and hope it's true.
I'm not a Dylan Gabriel supporter, but to suggest that yesterday had any sort of ramifications off of him is just, it's nonsense.
No, it didn't have any ramifications, which makes you lucky. But you can still grade the performance and say, all right, those are two big plays that you, one you're lucky didn't go against you, and the other one you're lucky didn't go against you either. If I've got 18 plays to grade you off of, and a quarter of them, because there were two other plays, I can't remember the exact specific down and distance.
Well, you're going to have to learn which ones they are, or else you're just going to have to sideswipe those for a second. I'm going to need exact examples here.
Is Dylan Gabriel the greatest quarterback you've ever seen? 216-474.
Come on now. It just that wasn't the game.
Well, no, you've completely forgiven him for two plays, and because I can't remember the exact two other plays, well, they don't matter now. He took points off the board.
No, I'm going to let you go back to the All-22, and I'm going to let you look at it, and then you can bring him to the
table
tomorrow.
Very excited for the All-22.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.